Will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm very proud of all of my children. And in being proud of all of your children as a parent, there's always this line that every parent has to cross and toe between being proud of your children, letting them stand on their own, and living vicariously through them. When I hear wonderful music like the choir does, I want to live vicariously through it, thinking that I could probably just as easily as you pick up a trumpet or a French horn, and you don't want me picking up a trumpet or a French horn. But when you see something done well, you want to live through that. Well, there's one week a year that Leslie and I both agree that we are allowing ourselves to live vicariously through our children. And it's when the book fair comes to school, because we love books. But more importantly, we love the book fair and the idea of being able to flip through books and see new books and be the first one to crack the spine on it and find that middle section. We also like the fact that at book fairs now you can buy 18 different types of erasers. In case you didn't know that you needed 18 different types of erasers, you can buy those as well at the book fair. But I love the book fair because it reminds me of a time when we had book fairs at school and the types of books that I would look for. I liked those choose-your-own-adventure type books that start you off with a scenario, and then you get to choose and flip the page to decide how you want to solve and get to the end of the book. Maybe I liked it because it offered so much possibility or so much hope, or maybe it offered so much control in a world that seemed beyond my control as a young child. But it took me about 3 years and 8 unread and unfinished choose-your-own-adventure books to realize that I don't think I liked the adventure as much as I thought I did. Maybe it was too much choice. Maybe it was not knowing how the story would play out. Maybe it was having too many options. Whatever it was, I never finished any of those choose-your-own-adventure stories, even though it would be my first inclination at the book fair. I think what I discovered about myself over the years is that I like stories that are cohesive, that someone can present to me, that I can interpret, but I don't have to decide how it ends, which is why it's helpful when we encounter Jesus' parable this morning, where Jesus tells us exactly what this parable is about. It's about our need to pray with persistence and to not lose heart. And if Jesus hadn't said that in Luke's gospel, I'm not sure that this parable would have been as easy to understand as it is. So here we go. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's trying to figure out what happens next. Jesus says, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God or respected people." The judge was crooked. The judge was shameless. The judge didn't care what other people thought. He didn't care what God thought. We don't even know whether he believed in God or not. This judge's decisions bore little resemblance to what was right. He was unfair. He was unjust. And the judge was perhaps not characteristic of any one person, but maybe the judge is the world that we find ourselves in. A world that is broken and fallen and unfair. and unjust. But in that city with the unjust judge, there was a widow. A widow who comes to the judge and says, "Grant me justice in my case." As a woman without a husband who had few legal rights at all, the unjust judge dismisses her with the pound of the gavel and says, "Move along." Maybe it's because she wouldn't pay him the customary bribe that he'd gotten used to over the years. Maybe it's because he's afraid of her more powerful opponents. Maybe it's because he knows that she's a nobody. Maybe he's too busy to care and just doesn't care about this little woman. Either way, the widow is sent on her way. And now many of us, if we were in the widow's shoes at that time, might have lost heart. We might have gone on home and licked our wounds and sighed and said, "Life isn't fair. You know what? You can't fight City Hall." We may have resigned ourselves and tried our best to move on with our lives in an unjust world, but that's not what this woman, what this persistent woman does. She doesn't lose heart. In fact, she stiffens and straightens her backbone. She wakes up in the morning and straightens her jacket and pulls down her hat and sets her jawline. And a spring in her step, heads down right to the courthouse and storms to the courtroom, right up to that unjust judge. And the judge in his great, big, black robe says, "You again, what do you want?" And this wonder widow just looks up at him and wags her finger in his direction and says, "I want justice, and you're going to give it to me. Do you hear?" And that uppity woman causes such a commotion that the judge causes the bailiffs over to come and drag her out of church, or excuse me, out of the court, kicking and screaming. But that doesn't stop her, because the very next day, the wonder widow gets up. She stomps into that courtroom again like she owns the place, and she's marching around this time with a picket sign, with scripture on it nonetheless, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, which say, "For the Lord your God is the Lord of lords, who is not partial, who takes no bribes, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow." And the judge throws up his hands and doesn't know what to do, so he quickly orders the bailiffs to haul her out yet again. But the next day she comes back with a t-shirt on that says, "Your honor knows no honor." And she comes again the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next day, every day until she's on first name basis with the bailiffs. And she feels pity for them because they are just doing their job. She bakes cookies for their kids and their spouses when she shows up just to be whisked out of the courtroom again. That widow is on the judge like fleas on a dog. She's pushy and persistent. She's relentless, and every day she keeps coming and coming, blitzing this poor judge. The widow knows that life isn't fair, but that doesn't mean that she's going to roll over and take it. She knows that she may not have the best legal representation, but maybe she's read enough of the scriptures to know that God is the public defender of the poor and the orphan and the widow, and that there's a lot bigger bench and a lot higher courtroom than the one that this unjust judge now occupies. So she does not lose heart. She keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back and pummeling the unfairness of life and the unfairness of the judge. And finally, this judge has no other choice because he can't be seen putting a poor widow in handcuffs with re-election coming up. He knows he has to relent because now that this widow has made his life a public spectacle of shame, the TV reporters and the news reporters have gotten wind of it. So the judge says, "Take whatever you want. I give up." A rough translation of the Greek, not the polished version that we read in our New Testament, says, "I'm going to give this widow what she wants so she'll stop giving me a black eye." And the widow wins. And Jesus tells us that this is a parable about our need to keep praying and not to lose heart and to seek justice. It's not, Jesus says, that God is like the unjust judge whom you have to badger into submission or bug in order to get any kind of response. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. Jesus says that even if a powerless, unnamed widow can get justice from a corrupt judge with nothing but sheer raw persistence, imagine how much more quickly justice will be granted when God's beloved cry out night and day to the one who is just, who is eager to give justice to all God's children. I tell you, Jesus says, God will quickly, suddenly grant justice to them. And this parable about prayer tells us everything we need to know about persistence. But not the kind of prayer that we pray with every head bowed and every eye closed. Not the kind of prayer that enlarges our territory or enlarges our bank account. This is the kind of prayer that Jesus talks about with the wonder widow type prayer, the squeaky wheel getting the oil type prayer, the thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven prayer that won't accept anything less than what is right and just and good. The kind of prayer that uppercuts injustice in the face and gives it a black eye. And Jesus tells us to keep on praying, to not lose heart, not today, not tomorrow, that your prayers are heard and justice is on its way. Whatever we may be tempted to think our prayers for justice are, they are not just connecting us to some heavenly call center where we're told, your call is important to us, please stay on the line. That's not persistence. Our prayers are not showing up to the complaint department at the store, to customer service, to take a number until we're heard. That's not persistence. Our prayers are deep, heartfelt cries for justice, for what is right are heard, like the cries of a newborn child that send parents out of their beds and into the nursery, immediately to see what is the matter. Because even in sleep and slumber, the cries of a child are heard by a parent. And so too, God is tuned in to the cries when we wake up in the midst of a nightmare in an unjust world, day or night. And yet, Jesus knows all too well that we live in a fallen, widow-making world that often acts more like an unjust judge than one who runs quickly to our aid. We live in a world that seems to fear neither God nor respect people, a world that is unfair. A world where there's this mysterious delay between our prayers for justice being heard and our prayers for justice being answered. Where some of us live in that time between the cry and the night from the child and the parent rushing into the nursery. And for some, that delay has lasted far too long. And for others, that delay is still out there. But justice is coming, even though we ask, how long, O Lord? And we persist, and we keep praying, and we keep asking, and we keep doing. And we continue our work in faith, even when it seems faithless or pointless or helpless or hopeless. Because God has given us the ability to cry out against injustice. And we know this because when someone joins the church, when parents bring a child for baptism on behalf of the church, we ask the parents, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And when the parents answer affirmative and we baptize the child, or when someone joins the church on transfer of their membership or profession of faith, we say the words as a congregation, with God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ to uphold this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We get to choose our own journey. So just for a moment, you pick up the book and you read on the first page. You are the judge in a small town in ancient times. A woman comes to you with her case. What do you do? To grant her request, turn to page 112. To deny her request, turn to page 2. And you choose page 2 because you really want to see where the adventure goes. And you read, a woman comes to you with her case. What do you do? To accept her request, turn to page 112. To deny her request, turn to page 3. Well, let's see what page 3 holds. A woman comes to you with her case. What do you do? To accept her request, turn to page 112. To deny her request, turn to page 4. And you keep turning page after page after page of denial until you get to the end and realize that you have no choice left but to grant her request. You've run out of options, but maybe in that process of denying, maybe in that process of rejection, maybe in that process of turning your back on the orphan and the widow, God has worked in you to soften your heart. And maybe God has worked to soften the hearts of injustice and those who oppress. Because maybe that's what we do as a church. That's why we do things with God's help. That's why we resist evil and oppression and injustice in whatever forms they present to themselves. Because as a church, we are not the judge. We are the widow who turns and gives a black eye to injustice, whether it be in Judea or Samaria or Jerusalem or Fayette County or Spalding County or Atlanta or the Outer Banks or El Salvador. Wherever we are called to mission, wherever we are called to service, wherever we go as a church, we do so giving a black eye to the injustices of the world. So what do we do as the widow? What do we do when life hands us something so unfair, so unjust? How do we turn and give the black eye? Well, we look to the example of the widows. Susan Reddick and Patty Quigley were each 7 months pregnant, picking out the colors of their nurseries when their husbands were killed on the 11th of September 2011. Suddenly, Susan and Patty found themselves widows and single parents plunged into loneliness and tragedy, trying as best they could to answer unanswerable questions of their grieving children. And they watched in the days and months and years that unfolded as fighting broke out in Afghanistan, and they learned about the plight of the women there, and they realized that Afghanistan would soon be full of widows. Just like them. In fact, Afghanistan, like many other places of the world, were already full of widows from violence. And Susan and Patty had only been able to make it through the past few months because of the love and support that they found from their communities. Otherwise, they might have lost heart. And now they simply could not imagine any woman anywhere going through what they had, while being in a place where you might have little support. They imagined that if you lived in one of the poorest countries of the world, in a place ravaged by war, where you're not allowed to read or write, where you've given birth to maybe 7 children, but only 5 of them have made it past walking age. When you want your children to go to school to have a better life, but a family's survival depends on kids going to work rather than going to school, where you're not allowed to go to the market by yourself without a male escort. And if someone assaults you on the street, don't even think about telling the authorities, because the legal system does not look favorably upon widows. And with this death of your spouse, you've not only lost a companion, but you've lost that support and that thing that gave you what little rights you had as a widow in Afghanistan. And Susan Reddick and Patty Quigley were two widows who had been dealt a grave injustice and unfairness in life. But they decided that they would not let their lives be defined by that injustice. And they did not lose heart. And together they founded the organization Beyond the 11th, which is dedicated to raising funds to support and empower widows in Afghanistan who've been affected by war and terror and oppression. You can watch this in the documentary called Beyond Belief that tells their story, how they began by buying small chicken flocks so that women could simply sell eggs to make ends meet, and how it's moved on to support over 1,000 Afghan widows starting small businesses to improve their lives and improve their country's economy. When life handed Patty and Susan unfairness, these two widows gave injustice a black eye. And the good news for us is that when we persist and when we share and when we give and when we are here present as the community of faith at Fayetteville First United Methodist Church, we celebrate not giving up because God has not given up on us. With God's help, we will give injustice a black eye. We will not just gather for worship and for beautiful music and for wonderful programming, but we will fight evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, because the church's business is the fighting business, to give a black eye to injustice wherever it is. So in the coming weeks, as you share with us your ministry, as we share with one another the ministry for this community and beyond, we give thanks that God does not give up on us on our quest for justice. Whenever anyone cries out, whenever anyone cries up to God, we are there as the church in our persistent presence through our gifts, our time, our talents, our service, and our witness. Together, we will give sin and oppression the black eye, because in God's story, the widow wins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.